It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I think if we're going to force Americans to make these radical changes, they're not going to go along. You throw your hands up. But you you haven't... Oh, I can do it.
Every credible poll that I have seen has me beating Donald Trump.
Hillary Clinton was winning in the polls, too.
We do not play into Donald Trump's hands.
But you are playing into Donald Trump's hands.
We are more worried about winning an argument than winning an election.
If we embrace a far-left agenda, they're going to say we're a bunch of crazy socialists. If we embrace a conservative agenda, they're going to say we're a bunch of crazy socialists. So let's just stand up for the right policy.
I've heard some people here tonight. I almost wonder why you're Democrats. You seem to think there's something wrong about using the instruments of government to help people.
I think Democrats win when we run on real solutions, not impossible promises. When we run on things that are workable, not fairy tale economics.
I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for.
I get a little bit tired of Democrats afraid of big ideas. So please don't tell me that we cannot take on the fossil fuel industry and nothing happens unless we do that.
You don't have to yell. I mean, all I'm saying is...
Sandy Rios with it. That was the opening of Fox and Friends this morning, and it was so good, I just thought I would share it. I mean, it really was. It was. I wish that the debate had been that exciting. Maybe if they'd played music underneath the conversations. I watched it. I watched almost all of it. I confess to you that it's hard for me to watch it. I'm not a patient person when it comes to, I'll just be honest as I know how to be, foolish conversation. When people are liars, when they don't tell the truth, there were some truth tellers on that stage, and I'm going to talk about, there was one anyway, there was one, Congressman John Delaney. He made some really good points. He talks about you can't make, you know, fantasy promises about health care and about the economy. It just doesn't add up. And so my comment last night, I was tweeting about the debates as they were unfolding. I thought John Delaney's going to be gone. He has to go. He makes way too much sense. He will not be abided. And as a matter of fact, I read this morning that someone went and hacked his Wikipedia account and listed him as dead. So I didn't mean that, but my prediction, well, he does have to go because he makes way too much sense, much more than Joe Biden. So that was an interesting event. Let me just say that on the stage was Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Beto O'Rourke, Amy Klobuchar, Senator, Hickenlooper, former governor of Colorado, Tim Ryan, former congressman, I think he's current congressman, former Congressman John Delaney, Marianne Williamson, and Steve Bullock made his debut on the stage. You had to... I think these two nights, tonight also, the second night for the second half of these candidates are the last ones where people who are not polling very high get an opportunity. So it took place in the beautiful Fox Theater in Detroit. It was absolutely gorgeous. It's obviously been restored. I know that tons of money is being poured into Detroit to try to restore it. It's, you know, it's the Baltimore. It was Baltimore before Baltimore was Baltimore. The stories about Detroit have just been horrendous, really, of what's happened. People burning fires in homes, abandoned homes, you know, talk about rats and crime, just unbelievable stories about what was once such a beautiful city. So it was nice to see Fox Theater restored and gorgeous and all the people there. It was a beautiful setting. It reminded me of a personal memory. I remember the Rialto Theater in Joliet was restored a number of years ago. And Joliet's a town that in Illinois has been, it's south, it's west of Chicago, southwest. it was once a very thriving city and was sort of decaying, much like those others. And someone came in and restored the Rialto Theater. And I was one of four soloists to do an evening of Gershwin, Rodgers and Hammerstein, I mean, an evening of Rodgers and Hammerstein with the orchestra and chorus. I'll never forget that. It was just beautiful. And the setting was gorgeous. And it reminded me of the Fox Theater last night. So that was fun. The moderators were CNN moderators, Jake Tapper, and I'm doing it by memory, Don Lemon, and I'm not sure the girl's name, I'll tell you what people are saying about their performance last night. For one thing, it was an impossible format. Well, you try to give people a minute, 60 seconds to lay out their point, and then 30 seconds, and then 15 seconds for rebuttal. It's just, you can't do that, really. I mean, no one can. I mean, you just can't. Candidates can't make their point in that length of time. And moderators cannot control a forum like that, but there are so many on the stage. But they certainly tried. One of the things that they did at first was have a flag ceremony, showing up the colors with an honor guard, an older, obviously retired military doing the honors. And they spent a long time doing that. And then they had a black chorus sing the Star-Spangled Banner. Now, look, thank goodness they did that. I have no problem with that, except that they never do that. And the problem is, from my perspective, that's theater. That's meant to show the American people, hey, we're patriotic too. As they were bringing the colors down the aisle, I thought to myself, why aren't people kneeling? Why are they standing up? Why aren't they kneeled, which is what their proclivity is in this party? And when they sang the anthem, it was pretty telling. Well, all the candidates held their hand over their heart except for Tim Ryan and Marianne Williamson. So Marianne Williamson, about halfway through, decides, oh, I better put my hand on my heart. I don't know if she was dazed and confused or if she really just wasn't sure if you should put your hand on your heart, what that meant if you were a Democrat. Tim Ryan steadfastly did not. Someone said that he's claiming now that he didn't realize he was supposed to do that, or was kind of lost in his own thoughts, really. Are you kidding me? If he did say that, I'm sorry, I don't believe that for a second. I did notice that during the singing of the Star-Spangled Banner, the camera was panning across the candidates, and when Bernie Sanders saw the camera on him, that he started to sing. He had not been singing. He'd been standing there stone-faced. You can see that face, can't you, if you close your eyes? Don't close your eyes if you're driving, but you can see Bernie Sanders standing there with that long face. And as soon as the camera came, he looks at the camera and immediately he starts singing. It was really funny. You can't miss it. If you want to watch the tape, you just can't miss it. It wasn't subtle. And so that's how they started it. And then they took their first commercial break. And I just have to say, that was theater. That was theater for the Democratic Party. CNN was really calling the shots on this. They did not allow any of those. How many of you agree with health care for illegal immigrants? All of you raise your hand if you're for that. And so they did not allow any of that. And of course, they didn't do that because it's bad for them. It's bad for the Democrats when they do that. They have peer pressure to out-left each other. And they don't have time to make the proper political calculations rather than having convictions. They don't like to be put on the spot and go on record. And so they didn't, CNN, of course, did not make them do that last night. One thing that struck me, Steve Bullock was the first, that was his first time on stage. I don't even know really hardly anything about him. But one of the first things he said was that the American people can't wait for a revolution. And of course, that is what the left wants. He looked all dressed up and, you know, normal, but that's kind of a key word. That's what the Weather Underground and all the leftists of the 60s and 70s, and I guess the communists who infiltrated this country in the 30s and 40s, who was the reason why the FBI actually got started, was a communist subversive activity in this country. They wanted revolution, too. So that word has meaning that I don't think is good, but that was his salvo across the bow, his first statement. When I saw Governor Hickenlooper, I just can't help but think about what a marijuana freak he is. I mean, that's what he wants. He pushed that in his state. He has this almost like constant, like silly smile on his face. And you may have seen the moment when he and Bernie Sanders went back and forth. I'm sure it was over healthcare. And, it was funny, the silly moment where they both threw their arms up. Oh, okay, I'll throw my arms up. you know, and then Hickenlooper throws his up. But just like two stoned guys, that's what I thought. Like, goofy, just goofy. And then of course, we come to Marianne Williamson. Marianne Williamson, if you don't know much about her, she's a best-selling author. She's been a coach, a spiritual guide, a substitute, I think, for many, for God. She writes books about spiritual things. She's into crystals and all kinds of stuff like that. And she's very connected with the stars. She actually conducted Elizabeth Taylor's seventh wedding in Michael Jackson's home. So Marianne Williamson was at one time a very beautiful woman, and very persuasive, you know, but wacky, you know, very wacky. So the irony is that she really, according to all accounts, was the star last night. She didn't get as much time. We'll get into that in a second, too. But she was, according to some, the star of the evening. I'm not sure how I feel about that. But here's a montage to give you an idea of some of the things that that Williamson had to say.
There is an injustice that continues to form a toxicity underneath the surface, an emotional turbulence
Ms.
that
Williamson,
only reparations
thank
will
you
do.
Very much.
Do you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country? Then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days. I don't think the Democratic Party should be surprised that so many Americans believe yada, yada, yada. It is time for us to start over. You can't fight dog whistles. You have to override them. And the only way you can override them is with new voices, something emotional and psychological that will not be emerging from anything on this stage.
Okay, so that was a little touch of Marianne Williamson's passion. She certainly had passion, but all right. So I'll just give you an example. She was going back and forth about Medicare for all. And I just want you to hear this and then I'll comment on it. This is clip four.
Ms. Williamson, how do you respond to the criticism from Senator Warren that you're not willing to fight for Medicare for all?
I don't know if Senator Warren said that about me specifically. I admire very much what Senator Warren has said and what Bernie has said. But I have to say, I'm normally way over there with Bernie and Elizabeth on this one. I hear the others, and I have some concern about that as well. And I do have concern about what the Republicans would say, and that's not just a Republican talking point. I do have concern that it will be difficult. I have concern that it will make it harder to win, and I have concern that it will make it harder to govern.
See, the part I wanted you to hear was the yodeling, that people are calling that yodeling. And I think she's right. I think it's right. She was yodeling. You know, she does, now she's like both ways. She didn't kind of not holding her hand over her heart during the national anthem and then deciding halfway through to hold her hand over the heart. So she's not sure about that. And she doesn't seem to be sure about Medicare for all, which she's for sometimes. And then she's not for on other times. I want to play one last clip of her in this segment. You've heard bits of it, but you have to hear this, clip five.
My response on the Flint water crisis is that Flint is just the tip of the iceberg. I was recently in Denmark, South Carolina, where there is a lot of talk about it being the next Flint. We have an administration that has gutted the Clean Water Act. We have communities, particularly communities of color and disadvantaged communities all over this country, who are suffering from environmental injustice. I assure you, I lived in Grosse Pointe. What happened in Flint would not have happened in Grosse Pointe. This is part of the dark underbelly of American society. The racism, the bigotry, and the entire conversation that we're having here tonight, if you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this president is bringing up in this country, then I'm afraid that the Democrats are going to see some very dark days. We need to say it like it is. It's bigger than Flint. It's all over this country. It's particularly people of color. It's particularly people who do not have the money to fight back. And if the Democrats don't start saying it, then why would those people feel that they're there for us? And if those people don't feel it, they won't vote for us. And Donald Trump will win.
She sounded a little bit like the doctor that was up. And they were going to edit the more she got wound up. Well, anyway, the dark psychic forces, the force that is President Trump, the dark psychic force, the underbelly of American society. It's just amazing. It's amazing. From another planet, people are. Different worldview completely. All right, our phone line is 888-589-8840. What did you think?
Hi, I'm Jan Harper. If you're a pastor's wife, come be encouraged and renewed as we talk about the challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 8th through 10th to Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. The retreat is 3 days and 2 nights of relaxation and building relationships. Our hosts will be Pastor Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries, and co-host of Exploring the Word on AFR, and his wife, Jan. And our special speakers will be J.J. Jasper and Abraham Hamilton III. Lodging, meals, and materials are included in your registration. But hurry, space is limited. Register today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 300. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300. Or at repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment each day to pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for Martha Newton, Deputy Undersecretary for International Affairs at the U.S. Department of Labor. Her office works to ensure that workers around the world are treated fairly and are able to share in the benefits of the global economy. Psalm 128:2 reminds us of the blessings we receive from God for our work. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Martha Newton as she pursues fair treatment and compensation for workers around the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. A shocking discovery about Baltimore. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The city of Baltimore has a higher murder rate than many Central American nations. That's according to analytics published by Princeton Policy Advisors. They project Baltimore's murder rate for 2019 will be 56 murders per 100,000 people. In other words, Baltimore is more than twice as dangerous as the entire nation of Guatemala. President Trump has come under withering criticism for pointing out the dangerous living conditions in places like Baltimore, a city controlled by Democrats for more than 50 years, accused of being a racist simply for pointing out the facts. So if you live in Guatemala or El Salvador, you might want to rethink your plan to violate American sovereignty. And if you live in Baltimore, well, you might want to consider packing a bag and catching the next Greyhound south of the border. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Maybe some of you did not watch the debate. I would really like to know if you watched it, what you thought. I'm going to play some more clips and talk to you about it a bit. It's not funny. I'm only laughing because there's so many odd things. I don't know how to respond to it. It's just oddness. It's strange to me. Marianne Williamson is a mystery to me. I can't imagine people who think that way. I can't imagine people who are so stoned or into that so much that it's always, hey, man, I just don't get that. I can't relate to it. I don't have patience with it. And then we've got the communist leftists. You know, we have Buttigieg saying last night, if we talk about socialist policies, they will call us a socialist. And if we embrace conservative policies, they'll still call us a socialist. So we might as well just, he says, say what's true and what works. Well, of course, what he meant was we might as well just come clean. We are socialists / communists. He doesn't say that, but that's exactly what's true. So I don't know how to relate to people who talk that way and people who feel that way. I feel either amused or alarmed. So I'm kind of somewhere in between. Our phone number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. Honestly, if you heard something that really resonated with you, I want to hear about that. I was trying to listen for something like that. I did hear John Delaney was the lone sane person on the platform, I think, last night. A former congressman. In fact, let's skip ahead and play his clip. I want you to hear what he had to say. This is clip six.
The bill that Senator Sanders drafted, by definition, will lower quality in health care because it says specifically that the rates will be the same as current Medicare rates. And the data is clear. Medicare does not cover the cost of health care. It covers 80% of the cost of health care in this country. And private insurance covers 120%. So if you start underpaying all the health care providers, you're going to create a two-tier market where wealthy people buy their health care with cash, and the people who are forced, like my dad, the union electrician,
thank
will
you,
have that health care plan taken away from him,
thank you,
they will be forced into an
Senator
underfunded
Sanders,
system.
I want to give Senator Sanders a chance to respond.
All right. On the Medicare for All, the hospitals will save substantial sums of money because they're not going to be spending a fortune doing billing and the other bureaucratic things that they have to do today. Second of all, maybe you did that and made money off of health care, but our job is to run a nonprofit health care system. Furthermore, when we save $500 billion a year by ending all of the incredible complexities that are driving every American crazy trying to deal with the health insurance company,
thank you,
hospitals
Senator.
Will be better
Congressman
off
Delaney,
than
I
want to
let you have a chance to respond.
Listen, his math is wrong. That's all I'm saying. If his math is wrong, it's been well documented that if all the bills were paid at Medicare rate, which is specifically, I think it's in Section 1200 of their bill, then many hospitals in this country would close. I've been going around rural America, and I ask rural hospital administrators one question. If all your bills were paid at the Medicare rate last year, what would happen? And they all look at me and say, we would close. But the question is, why do we have to be so extreme? Why can't we just give everyone health care as a right and allow them to have choice?
Thank
I'm
you,
starting to think this is
so,
not about health care.
Thank you, Congressman.
No, this is an
anti-private
sector.
John Delaney, he's the one lone standing man who made sense. And my notes last night, I just wrote, he has to go. He'll have to go. He's an annoyance. He's annoyance. He's like, why do we have to be so far left? Why do we? This is not common sense. This won't work. Bernie Sanders talks about the paperwork at hospitals and through doctors. Do you know why we have so much? It's because of the rules and regulations passed by Congress. And then add to that Obamacare, which added so much paperwork that I know personally of doctors who've left the medical profession because they were so overburdened with filling out forms. It's not because of the free market system. It's because of government regulation. And so they want to put the government in charge of it, and that'll fix it, right? I want to talk about, before I go to the phone lines, I want to talk about one other thing I want to point out to you. Reparations, and of course, racism was a huge, President Trump is a racist, of course. They all pretty much repeated that. Marianne Williamson was talking about Flint, Michigan, and her pivot was she's calling for up to $500 billion in reparations for African Americans, which what got wild applause. Well, not to be outdone, Elizabeth Warren jumped in, and this is her offering, clip seven.
Last week, the FBI Director Christopher Wray said that the majority of domestic terrorism cases this year have been motivated by white supremacy. In fact, the alleged shooter in this weekend's attack in Gilroy, California, referenced a well-known white supremacist book on social media. How are you going to combat the rise of white supremacy?
We need to call out white supremacy for what it is, domestic terrorism, and it poses a threat to the United States of America. We live in a country now where the president is advancing environmental racism, economic racism, criminal justice racism, healthcare racism. The way we do better is to fight back and show something better. So I have a plan, for example, on education that says we have to build a better education system for all our kids, but we've got to acknowledge what's happened on race. So my plan has universal tuition-free college for all of our kids, but also increases the Pell Grants and levels the playing field by putting $50 billion into historically black colleges and universities. It cancels student loan debt for 95% of the kids with student loan debt and helps close the black-white wealth gap in America.
Thank you, Senator, very much.
So two things about that. First of all, it reminds me of a scene in a movie And I think I've mentioned this before, but indulge me if you will. The provisional government in Russia after the Tsar was murdered by the Bolsheviks was a former Navy admiral. I think his name was Kolchak, something like that. And there's a scene in a movie that was made about him when he is finally defeated by the Bolsheviks. He's sitting at a table in his military uniform, and they're sort of discussing what has happened as the communist Bolsheviks overtook Russia and the Russian loyalists to the old government who wanted to restore, you know, Mother Russia fought. There's like, how did this happen? How did we get here? And the Bolshevik looks to Admiral Kolchak, and he basically says, it's easy. We promise them everything. We promise them everything, and then they support us. And Kolchak, they said, that's your mistake. You did not promise them everything. And Kolchak says, I did not promise them everything because I could not deliver. And this is the way. This is the way they do it. They promise everything. That's what Elizabeth is doing. We cannot. Are you kidding me? Provide free college for everyone and pay off everyone's debts. And also, could I just say, why would we give that amount of money, what, $950 million, whatever she said, to black colleges, unique? Why aren't we trying to be one country without any racial bias? Why do we continue to imprint and make the bias worse and make the divide between us in terms of race worse? Why don't we? I just don't. So we know why, because it's a good thing for the left to have the black community on their side. So it's a great thing for them to offer everything, even though they can't deliver it. Just they can't deliver it. And then the other thing I want to mention, you heard the CNN anchor Don Lemon's question about, and he stated it like that shooter. This is a different thing. The shooter in Northern California, we now know he had in his possession a well-known white supremacist book. Well, that's not accurate. Let me just point out that the story about him has gone silent, hasn't it? The FBI is investigating. The FBI under Christopher Wray is still claiming, because they've inherited James Comey, his list of priorities, Mr. Leftist Comey. Mr. Wray, who seems to be fully in compliance, has decided that the FBI's main enemy is not, you know, it's not Islamists, and it's not, I don't know, it's not like mental illness among our youth. It's white supremacists, of which there are maybe hundreds. I don't even think there's maybe a couple of thousand, the last report I heard, in this country. But every shooter now has to be linked to that. And I told you when this shooting happened, if it went silent, probably meant they're finding things about him they don't want us to know. He did have some book that people are trying to link to white supremacism. It was written like in the 1800s. He hated Jews. He said something about he was kind of an equal opportunity liar, the parts that I read. So Don Lemon misstated that, but for a purpose, and a really good purpose at that for them. All right, so I want to go to the phone lines. Our phone is 888-589-8840. I really want to know what you think about it. And if you are there parts that you really liked that I missed, maybe I missed something besides John Delaney, and I'm all ears about that. Let's go to Tian in Florida. Good morning, Tian. How are you this morning?
Yes, good morning, Sandy. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Okay, yes. A couple of things. I've spoken to you once before, going all the way back to your days. Yeah. And what's her name, Warren said about illegal immigration and decriminalizing it. Let me say this. I am a legal immigrant who's also a proud American citizen, and I believe that, you know, citizenship is a privilege. It's not a right. You have to follow the rules and the laws and the regulations as set forth by this great nation. They're not perfect. Took us a while to do it, but we did it anyway, and I have no regrets about it. But what she said about decriminalizing illegal immigration, I just think that is nothing short of madness, because all that's going to do is just simply invite. It's an open invitation to simply more illegal immigration. At one time, I used to think that it was kind of crazy that they want this because they want to change the demographics of the nation faster than it would, so that they could gain and harness power. But now I'm starting to see some of the sense in that now. And I just only hope that Chances are I'm going to vote for Donald Trump again, even with all of his imperfections. But I will say this. He has made an effort to try to secure the borders, and it's been met with nothing but the cruel language of and the cruel accusations of racism, just simply because he wants to try to secure the borders and to try to make it such that anyone coming in here follows the rules, the laws, and the regulations that have been set forth by this government, like any of the other countries would. I mean, even where I come from in Jamaica, they have rules, laws, and regulations on how you enter and immigrate into the country, just like some of the other countries that we deal and work with.
You know, Tan, why do you see that so clearly and others don't? I mean, especially, this is our impression anyway, we're led to believe that immigrants in America of all stripes are sympathetic with illegal immigration and coming across the border and that they welcome it. You don't welcome it. Why do you feel so strongly about that? And why is this clear to you and not to other American citizens who are immigrants? Or are we hearing something that's just not true?
No, it's a little bit of both. Number one, the left has cleverly used the language, and I think they have taken some of the words that President Trump has said, and they have twisted them, like the speech that he gave when he said, you know, some of them are rapists, some of them are robbers, some of them are burglars or something like that. Now, notice he didn't say all of them are rapists and robbers and burglars that are coming over the border. He actually said some of them may be good people, but the fact is that they have broken the law. But the left likes to twist that and say, oh, man. And the same thing with this ban on people that are coming from predominantly Muslim nations. But those Muslim nations happen to harbor terrorists. And that's the point that people are missing with that Muslim ban. If they would really kind of get to the heart of the matter, they would understand. It's not that Donald Trump hates black people or he despises immigrants. I think that he wants a certain degree of loyalty to our nation. If you say that you're going to be a citizen, that means that you have to, you know, stand in defense of our nation. It's not perfect. There are things that do need to be changed, true enough. But at the same time, you know, to slam the nation every single where you go and just say it's a terrible place and it's a hateful place, especially you're an immigrant and you've been elected to Congress and you want to go around and you say all of these bad things and the things, the place where you come from is not that much better either. You know, there's somewhat of a problem there. And also, before I close, because I know you got callers waiting, there have been some immigrants, I mean, illegal ones that have come over here and they've done bad things. They don't talk about Molly Tibbetts or Kate Steinle and that young man that was burned out in the field because of illegal immigrants. These two young ladies were shot or something, that they were killed by illegal immigrants. They're not the only one. That young man's brother, who was a police officer, I think he was like a Sikh immigrant or something like that. He was assassinated. He was killed by an illegal immigrant. But yet they won't talk about it. And I stand up with a passion for it because as an immigrant, it gives us all a bad rap.
Absolutely.
It gives us all, you know, it's something that it just, they, you know, some people like to group us all together. But I think that there's a difference between those who really, immigrants like myself, that really honor this nation and strive to be productive. And those, we're not perfect. But then again, there are those that willingly and wantingly break in the law and bashing through the front, the Texas border, demanding to be let in under the guise of seeking asylum, which we find, you know, some of those claims are not actually true. They're actually false.
Tian, always a pleasure to talk to you. And I just appreciate your wisdom. I really think, too, that the irony of this is that the left are the ones that are creating this racism by, for instance, you just hinted at just being cut into a huge wide swath of immigrants coming into this country of color. So now you are lumped with people that are concerned about that. You're lumped all together. The lack of distinctions between people who immigrate legally, lawfully, and become profitable citizens regardless of their color and people that come across the border illegally, it's just wrong regardless of their color. We have lost our ability, excuse me, to make distinctions. And we have to get back to that. And that's why these conversations are important. Great to hear from you, and we'll talk again soon. I'll take your calls on the other side of the break. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. An activist school teacher named Jed Dearberry recently tweeted, "New teachers, I'm sorry if we veteran educators have misguided you about the profession. It's not about cute classrooms and trendy ideas. It's political. It's advocacy. It's the front line of battle for the future of our nation. Go no further if you're not ready." Cultural apologist Dr. Michael Brown responded, "The left understands that schools are the front line of battle for the future of our nation. The question is, do we? If so, then what are we going to do about it?"
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exposing Washington reveals the deception that plagues our nation's capital.
The mainstream media refuses to tell the truth of what's really happening.
Exposing Washington brings clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C.
The American people must stay informed on what our government is doing.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman brings you the inside scoop of what's happening at our nation's capital.
We must take our country back.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Josh Harris, as a 20-something millennial, wrote a best-selling book a number of years ago, I Kiss Dating Goodbye. It sold nearly a million copies and launched a movement to reemphasize sexual purity among young singles in America. But somewhere along the way, he began to drift from the faith of his youth. He has now divorced his wife and renounced Christianity altogether. What happened? We'll probably never know all the details, but when a man's faith goes bad, it's usually because of a slow leak rather than a blowout. The writer of Hebrews warns us against drifting away from what we have heard. Josh Harris let it happen to him. Don't let it happen to you. Christianity was entirely true when he was 6, when he was 16, and when he will be 60. Let's hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last week, Communist China's People's Liberation Army released its first public defense strategy report in years. It describes the United States as the PRC's main adversary, and among other insights into its plans for defeating us, emphasizes that space security is one of China's 8 vital strategic interests. To advance its determination to exercise control of this commanding height, China has created a Space Corps, equipped with an array of both ground and space-based weapons capable of jamming, lasing, or physically attacking the various satellites upon which our military and economy are critically dependent. Against this backdrop, it's clear that President Trump's decision to establish a U.S. Space Force may be among his most important legacies. That will largely depend, however, on whether he entrusts its leadership to an individual with the vision and ability to overcome the Chinese space threat. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
So the problem is that right now the criminalization statute is what gives Donald Trump the ability to take children away from their parents. It's what gives him the ability to lock up people at our borders.
Just to clarify, would you decriminalize illegal border crossings?
The point is not about criminalization. That has given Donald Trump the tool to break families apart.
If we decriminalize entry, if we get health care to everyone, we'll have multiples of that. Don't take my word. That was President Obama's Homeland Security Secretary that said that. But you are playing into Donald Trump's hands. The challenge isn't that it's a criminal offense to cross the border. The challenge is that Donald Trump is president and using this to rip families apart.
When I'm president, illegally crossing the border will still be illegal. And it's not just a crisis of immigration, it's a crisis of cruelty and incompetence that has created a humanitarian disaster on our southern border.
You did raise your hand in the last debate. You do want to decriminalize crossing the border illegally.
So in my view, if fraud is involved, then that's suitable for the criminal statute. If not, then it should be handled under civil law.
If you want to come into the country, you should at least ring the doorbell.
All right, that was Tim Ryan. Here's the thing. Basically, all of them said in the last debate that they supported free medical care, offer illegal immigrants, and they wanted to decriminalize coming across the border. They did say that. That's why they didn't want to. They asked, and CNN cooperated, that we'd not have a question with a show of hands. We don't want to get into that mess again. And so they're backpedaling a little bit. But the truth is that they listen to Elizabeth Warren. The president wants to separate families. He wants to separate children from their mothers. He's just using that as an excuse. This is the law so that Trump can separate. Really? Do you really think that Donald Trump wants to do that, that that's his focus, to separate families? Families are separated because their parents, if they are parents indeed, or if they're not just single men who've paid for these children, which is the case in many of the instances, regardless, the adults have broken the law. They cannot take the children into jail. Children don't go to jail. If robbers are arrested here, they don't take their children into jail with them. And that's what they're talking about. Elizabeth Warren takes it even further. Let's listen to clip 11.
So the problem is that right now, the criminalization statute is what gives Donald Trump the ability to take children away from their parents. It's what gives him the ability to lock up people at our borders. We need to continue to have border security, and we can do that. But what we can't do is not live our values. I've been down to the border. I have seen the mothers. I have seen the cages of babies. We must be a country that every day lives our values.
You know what? There is absolutely no evidence, no pictures. No one has claimed there are cages of babies. Elizabeth Warren is just a really hardened, chronic liar. Remember that years ago, she claimed she was Cherokee Indian on her applications, and it was helpful to her. And it was only when she did a DNA test that she had nothing, like hardly a trace of anything in her blood. But that was the lie she's lived on for years. She is a liar. I'll tell you something else she does. She goes after corporate America all the time. But these rich people, these corporate American, corporate, this is what comes out of her mouth all the time. But you do know that Elizabeth Warren is a multimillionaire, right? You know that. But you might not know that Elizabeth Warren was an attorney who represented corporations. She actually represented Dow Corning. It was the company that was sued. Some of you would be too young to remember this, but it was a huge case where they were making the breast implants. And there were a lot of lawsuits from women who had had really bad side effects from these breast implants. So they went after Dow Corning Chemical. And guess who the attorney was? To defend Dow Corning Chemical. It was Elizabeth Warren. And so she argued to limit the size of the payouts to women. She did everything she could. And that was not her only, that's what she did. She was a corporate attorney who defended big corporations. So she is just not an honest person. And that's what drives me crazy about the people on that stage. Most of them, not all of them. Some of them, John Delaney might be an honest man. We'll see. And so, all right, I need to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Tarina in Arkansas. Good morning, Tarina.
Hi.
So did you watch it last night?
I did not get to watch it. I've been reading updates on it and everything online. But one of the points that I wanted to point out was one of the statements that Elizabeth Warren made. She touched on the dark forces at work, and it struck me kind of that they are. And it really seems that the political climate we're in is more of a spiritual warfare than a political war.
That was Marianne Williamson. She's the one who said that about the dark forces.
Okay.
I think that in general, yes, Marianne Williamson. Let me just answer you by saying this. Marianne Williamson dances in and out of biblical Christian language, but she's a spiritualist. She's a New Age crystal. You know, she's She is not an evangelical, born-again, biblically-based, sound Christian. But she is right that it's a spiritual battle, Tarina. I think we talk about that here. It has to be. It's just too wicked. What we're seeing happening in this country is just too wicked. So I think you're right. So thank you. Hey, you know what? Pete Buttigieg, who always talks about his Christianity, he's gay and he's a Christian. He wants you to know that. And he shamed Mike Pence for saying that it was for Mike Pence's stand on companies and the way they treated people who wanted cakes or pizzas or whatever the issue was in Indiana. And of course, Pete Buttigieg has criticized him since that time mercilessly and mocking his faith, because Pete, of course, is the modicum of Christian faith. And so he weighed in again last night doing the same thing on the issue of the minimum wage. Let's listen.
The minimum wage is just too low. And so-called conservative Christian senators right now in the Senate are blocking a bill to raise the minimum wage when Scripture says that whoever oppresses the poor taunts their maker.
Oh, thank you, Pete. We need that help with you on Scripture. And let me just say that's from Proverbs. He says the minimum wage should be increased $15. That's, he's saying, the Christian thing to do. So-called Christian, conservative Christian senators right now are blocking a bill to raise the minimum wage. And then he quotes Proverbs 14:31. So now that Proverbs 31, the whole thing says, 14:31 says, he who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors him. The one thing that Pete doesn't mention is that if the minimum wage is raised, even to $15, that means a lot of people are going to get fired. It's already been happening. Have you been to McDonald's lately and seen the automated ordering stations? It's because businesses are looking for ways to not have to hire people and pay them. Because McDonald's, for one thing, is going to be really hit if the minimum wage is higher, is changed and raised. And the other part of it, I just want to know, I'd like to ask Pete, what amount is the Christian amount? $15 seems pretty cheap to me. Don't you think it should be 20 or 25 or maybe even 50? Maybe we should just give people who are poor money instead of making them work for it. Would that be the Christian thing? You know, people, I have to point out to Pete, but he's a socialist and he pretty much, you know, told you last night, we might as well just say it. That's what we are. So he might not understand that if you're a teenager making minimum wage, you could actually work hard and then achieve the job of manager and get a higher salary. And then you might be able to save your money and go to college and graduate and come out and own a McDonald's, save your money. You know, there are other jobs you can get that pay more when you work hard. That's the nature of the free capital society. So government and businesses should not be forced to do things in the guise of Christianity. Individuals should be. Those of us that are followers of Christ should be generous and helpful and help those that are in need. But we can't force that. We cannot. Companies are not Christian and non-Christian. They're just entities. They don't have intrinsic spiritual souls or souls like a human beings. And so it's really a twisting of Scripture, which is what he's always doing. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Roderick. Good morning, Roderick. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know you mentioned in a previous broadcast that you are fully conservative and you are not open to other points of view, and I get that.
No, however, I didn't say that. However, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I have impatience with people that are not truthful. And I have impatience with people that are trying to manipulate other people. I have people that can disagree with me, and we have great debates, but I want you to make sure you hear that. All right, go on, Roderick.
Yes, ma'am. I want to state this. The reason why I am a conservative, that I did or that I could not support Trump, and I want you to hear this out and your viewers as well, was for just, okay, I'll say this. When he first started running, it made the hair stand up on the back of my neck, and I kid you not. I'm a very intuitive person, but the things I heard him saying, it was the equivalent of someone going into a room and screaming bomb. So, yes, I agree with a lot of conservative ideals, but that what he started doing, I realized this was the end of normalcy. And the reason why I could not support it is because this has potential throughout history. When people start speaking like that, people start to, or there's a potential for people to die. And I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for your family. Whether you think it's the left going crazy, whether you think it's the right, that's irrelevant. This is dangerous. Like, it's not about politics. I know I sound like some MSNBC liberal, but he's dangerous.
Roderick, really okay. All right, let me respond. I wish we had more time, but we don't. But stay with me. I don't agree with you. And the reason I don't agree with you is because I actually think, and this is where you and I are probably really get into it, I think that the actual policies of Barack Obama was what was dangerous. And I think that President Trump, most of the time, is just speaking the truth unfiltered. And sometimes he's very careless. I don't love everything he says, but I look at what he does. I look at what he does, and he's doing some great things, Roderick. He really is. He's accomplishing so many things.
Okay, but what's the end game, though? Because right now the left is fully enraged. If you're trying to, if the light is green, but there's a semi-truck coming in the opposite lane, you're not that still going. You're not going to just go just because the light's green. You can be dead right. So all I'm saying is that there is a potential for things to get ugly.
Oh, I agree with you. Roderick, I totally agree with you. My husband and I talk about that a lot. The thing that I don't agree with you with us, but I don't think it's President Trump. Look at Antifa in the streets. You think that's his fault?
Discussing civil war prior to him running. I mean,
no. Well, listen. Yes, we were. Did you hear what Barack Obama said when he was running? He said he wanted to radically transform the United States of America. He had a very gentlemanly manner about him, Roderick, but he said some horrible things, and he did some horrible things. So I look at what a man does, not at what he says. You know, you can talk a lot of smack and not be actually be that way. And then you can talk like
if
a gentleman and be pretty wicked.
Room, Stacey,
pardon?
That's saying something. If you yell out bomb in a crowded room, that's illegal because you're getting people riled up. Now, yes, Obama, I'm not saying he was great either. Please believe, I'm not saying I'm a lefty now, but I'm just saying for the state of normalcy, man, I hear where you're coming from, but I'm just saying that's scary. It's scary,
Roderick,
what's going on. And, yes,
hey, Roderick,
yes,
what
ma'am.
Is it? I wish we had more time. Maybe sometime we'll open the phone lines and have you call in earlier and you and I'll chat more. But sometimes I think, personally, that President Trump's statements are not as outrageous. The response to them by the left makes them more outrageous. Like when he talked about the four women. Those are not racist statements. He's talking about their leftist positions and the way they hate this country. They should go back to some place that they would feel more comfortable. They should go back. And that was a careless statement, but it wasn't really wrong. See, and then the left took it and made it like it was, oh, it's because they're all women of color, so he's a racist. I think that's ridiculous, Rodney. I don't see it that way.
The left is crazy, but broken clocks are sometimes right. And what we're not just pulling stuff out of our rear ends here. No other politician has said the things he has said.
And you know what? Isn't it refreshing? Roderick, isn't it refreshing? We've had all of these gentlemen serving us who've been doing some horrible things. You probably hear me talking about it every day. The way I cannot stand the way Washington is run. And it's all the gentlemen from Washington, the gentlemen. And meanwhile, they are stabbing us in the back. But they talk really well. They don't tweet these ridiculous tweets. They don't say impolitic things, but they do terrible things. And that's what I see, Roderick. I find him a breath of fresh air. And so, listen, you and I will have to talk again, and I appreciate you listening. I do. And so let's talk again. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.